This is the Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski. On 104.5 The Zone.
Here are the update from David Reed. Final hours here. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. John McLean with us. We would not end the show any other way. He's on Twitter at McLean_on_NFL. A lot to discuss with a man who has covered the league for nearly 5 decades. 49, in fact. John, hope you're doing well in Houston.
I'm doing great. And actually, I'm only on my 45th year of the NFL, 46 with the Chronicle, and 49 as a sports writer because I did 3 years at the Waco Tribune Herald while I was going to Baylor.
Okay, so we need to say 46 now.
That'd be 45 on the NFL.
Okay.
Covered hockey for a year.
John McLean with us. He's covered the league for 45 years.
He's done it a long time. That's what we can say. He's done it a long time.
Either way, it shows you that we can talk about any NFL topic you'd like to hit at 615-737-1045, our number.
We're talking about Doug Peterson. Some of the reporting from Ian Rappaport said he was sick of people telling him what to do. As part of this, Howie Roseman had a little bit of that reputation. Chip Kelly kind of pushed him out, but he came back in. How surprised were you that the Eagles went this direction? Where do you expect them to go next? And you think Peterson's getting one of these other 6 open jobs?
I'm guessing, unless he's just dying to coach, based on the kind of season he went through and what he experienced personally, he's got 2 years left on his contract. If he signs with another team, that money will come out of his Eagles money that he's owed. I wouldn't surprise if he didn't take off. I don't think he's the kind you're going to see doing studio shows or analyzing games on the weekend, but there's a lot of openings, a lot of people down here where they'd be interested in Peterson. I don't think after the problems he had at quarterback, and I've thought all along, and I've written and said this, I believe that the Texans would hire a minority for GM or head coach. They hired Nick Caserio as their head coach. So now I feel strongly they'll hire a minority. Could be wrong. It's Caserio's search, his baby. Maybe he's tight with Doug Peterson. But I don't expect Peterson to be with the Texans.
While we're talking coaches on the move, what do you think of Bill O'Brien as the offensive coordinator with Nick Saban at Alabama?
Well, of course, people here... One of the things I saw somebody tweeted is if he'd have been there this year, he would have traded Devontae Smith for a 7th-round pick. I think it's great for him. A lot of coaches have resurrected their career there. Nick Saban is really tight with Belichick. Belichick's his mentor. Belichick would give O'Brien a strong recommendation. And I think because of O'Brien's personality, he needs to work for somebody like Saban or Belichick. So I'm happy for him. I think he'll go there and do well. I think we could coach that offense with all the talent they have. And I think this, they never run out. The well's never dry. That he'll stay there a year or two, and then he'll be a head coach again.
John, 3 of the longest playoff win droughts were ended this past weekend, wild card weekend, with the Browns, the Bucks, and the Bills all winning, and a combined 67 years was ended of playoff losses. Who are you happiest for?
Cleveland, because Cleveland was the worst franchise in sports for a long time. They changed coaches and general managers almost every year, one bad decision after another. One of the reasons I like the Browns is not because the people in the organization, they haven't been there long enough to suffer. It's my friends in the Cleveland media who covered that team for decades. They've suffered covering a loser. And the fact that they did it with their coach in the basement and other coaches in their basements, and they beat the Steelers, their biggest enemy, and they had them down 28-0 in the first quarter. So I want to see the Browns continue to win. It's such a fabulous story. I'm so sick of those Baker Mayfield commercials, and I'm guessing because of their success, he's going to have even more.
Oh, yeah. It's coming. Get ready. At least they'll be freshened up, I hope.
Change is coming in Pittsburgh, or at least I would presume so. With the, you know, they start 11-0 through their first 11 games. 1-5 over their last six to finish the season. They had 12 total turnovers in that 11-0 start. And in their final six games, they had 11 turnovers. And they allowed 17 points per game in that 11-0 start. They allowed 29 points per game over the last six. What's next for Pittsburgh? What's next for Ben Roethlisberger, John?
I believe Roethlisberger will be back. He said he wants to play into his 40s. I don't think a 500-yard performance, four touchdowns, and four interceptions will be his last game with the Steelers. You know, they were missing their second and third linebackers. At one point, everybody was out, but T.J. Watt, their run defense, went down. And they need to work on the running game. They were last in rushing. They were the only team worse than the Texans. And the Steelers' game has always been predicated on the run, playing great defense. That's the way they won two Super Bowls. I'm guessing that will be a priority because they haven't been the same up front or the running game since Mike Munchak left to go to Denver as their offensive line coach.
Phone lines are open. If you've got NFL playoff questions for the one, the only, John McClain, 45 years covering the NFL for John McClain, 615-737-1045, 737-1045.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. We continue with John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. We welcome your calls. 615-737-1045, our number. John, Lamar Jackson won his first playoff game Sunday right here in Nashville. First time that he's also led a comeback from 10 points or more. What do you think of his performance, and what do you think about the Ravens moving forward?
I picked the Ravens to beat the Titans because they were hot, because they were running the ball well, and because their defense is playing great, and it played great against Derrick Henry. And I think if any team now, I thought it would be the Titans that could be the team to go into Kansas City and win. That was before the playoffs. Now I think it would be the Ravens. I don't think Buffalo has a strong enough running game to beat the Chiefs, but the Ravens are good. That should give him some confidence because, you know, he might act like it wasn't a big deal, but you know he was tired of hearing that he hadn't won a playoff game. And he did it more with his legs than his arm, although I saw he had one long pass. But I'm sure that there's a load lifted off his shoulders.
I'm eager to watch it just because everyone's going to watch it. But from this perspective, you mentioned the run game for Baltimore. Buffalo's defense can't stop it. I mean, they allowed 245 yards on the ground to Kansas City earlier this year. They allowed 170 this past weekend, 160 this past weekend to Indy. In a game, honestly, the Colts have to feel like they should have won, if not for some bad decisions by Frank Reich.
It's amazing. Frank Reich has now won one playoff game in four seasons. That was over the Texans here, and people love it. And he got criticized for that, but it's not going to be something lingering because people like him so much. But he made some strategic errors. And I think that Sean McDermott's done a tremendous job with the Bills. Wouldn't surprise me if they go into Kansas City and play well. We don't know what to expect from Kansas City because it's been so long since they won a game by more than a few points.
Let's go to JP with Ricky on deck. JP, welcome.
Hey, guys. My question for you, John, is on November 1st, I placed a bet on Ron Rivera to win Coach of the Year. And then, so obviously things started getting interesting at the end of the year where they started winning games, and it kind of died down. So I was wondering what you thought are his chances and who you think will win Coach of the Year.
I think that he will get some votes, and mainly because he was able to coach well and overcome cancer. But he had a losing record, played in the worst division in NFL history. Kevin Stefanski from Cleveland is going to win that vote.
I would think so. I mean, voters generally reward big swings, dramatic change, and then you add on that the Browns have been so bad for so long, playoff qualification. The playoff game obviously doesn't factor in the votes after the regular season. I would put my bet on Stefanski. Also.
Think about Stefanski and how antsy he must have been in his basement watching this game as it kicks off, right? Like, he's not there with his team. He has no control, no communication. And then the bat snap, and it's 7-0 immediately to start the game. And what it must have been like for him watching that at home.
I wish his – I know he's separate from his family because he had COVID, but I wish they'd set up a camera just for like 10 seconds of him watching that game for the Browns to put out on social.
I wish they'd had some cameras set up around Cleveland because, you know, even though they have a tight lockdown, there were fans together, just like there are fans out in Mass at Buffalo.
Everywhere,
but I still don't understand why the NFL could not let Stefanski communicate during the game with his coaches on the sideline or in the press box. Not that they needed him, but it just seems in this day of us being so technologically advanced, they would do that. Somebody said, well, it's against the rules. They've changed so many rules and adjusted so many times because of COVID-19. They should have done it for the Browns.
John, listening to Philip Rivers after the game in Buffalo, did you get the sense that his career is over?
No, there were a lot of guys felt emotional after a game. I think it depends on do the Colts want to bring him back on another one-year deal. He finished, I think, top 10 in yards passing. They were 11-5. They got nobody to take his place. And there's a lot of teams ahead of them that need quarterbacks. So if they do get another quarterback, I'm going to guess it would be a young guy to develop. They got that, I think, Jacob Eason behind him. But I believe Rivers will be back on another one-year deal.
So how much do you enjoy that? Who's Watson's agent, John?
David Mulligetta in Austin.
How impressive is he that he could get out the trade that he wants executed and that people will take it as if the Texans are taking it under consideration, and quite frankly, that the Dolphins are taking it under consideration. So he's setting forth the terms of the trade that nobody's even discussing. Oh, we'll trade Watson to Miami for Tua and other considerations. Oh, there's the deal. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, Watson will not be traded under any circumstances. And all these things about Watson being leaked to the national media come with the agent's fingerprints all over it. It's almost like he wants to be like the NBA, where agents and players control what happens with teams. But the Texans are not trading him. First game, 6 months away. He doesn't even know who his next head coach is going to be. Watson told us Monday a week ago, I just want to hold up the Lombardi Trophy. Nick Caserio, the new GM's got 6 replicas and 6 rings he can show him. And he can say, Deshaun, you want to win a Lombardi Trophy? I can show you how. It starts with a quarterback, and you are our quarterback.
Let's go to Ricky on the same lines here of our discussion. Ricky, welcome.
Yeah, I kind of stole my thunder there. But, you know, it's not – so if Bill O'Brien was still the head coach, I would have, like, pretty good confidence as a Dolphins fan that this might actually happen. Because if you would have said last summer or right when the season ended that he would trade Hopkins, would anybody believe it? Probably not. But, you know, just in the la-la land, if it did happen, what do you think it would cost? Because, like, the closest that I can find would be when Jay Cutler got traded to the Bears, and that was a current first round and then a future first round. The Dolphins could theoretically give back Houston their first and the second round pick plus Tua. So that'd be 3, you know, pretty high investments for one quarterback. Now, I wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't go any higher as a Dolphins, but – you know, what would you say would be the highest? What would you say would be the most Houston could get out of it? And what would be the Dolphins' best option to give them that? And if it could happen, how much would it cost? And that's my call. Thanks, guys.
Well, first of all, it will not happen under any circumstances. It was put out on ESPN. He might sit out the season. Give me a break. You sit out the season, you don't get paid, and you don't get credit for the season. So the money he would make this year is like $10 million he would make next year, and his $35 million wouldn't kick in till the year after that. It's just preposterous. I wouldn't put that out there even if the agent told me, because I know it's not going to happen. But if, like, say, a tree fell on Nick Caserio's head and he was going to trade him to Miami, it would take at least three number ones and more, because Watson is coming off a great season, best he's ever had, greatest in team history, one of the best in the NFL, in which he set career highs in every statistic, and he did it without DeAndre Hopkins. They don't need receivers. They got receivers. They need a running back, and Dolphins don't have a running back. And also, he'd be playing for somebody from New England, which everybody says, oh, he doesn't want to be with anybody from New England anymore, which is not true. So it's not going to happen. Sorry, you got Tua.
And I think they end up with Devontae Smith there too.
Good. After watching that kid, although if I'm the Jets and I'm picking number two, I'm taking him. If I'm keeping Sam Darnold, I'm taking Devontae Smith number two.
Let's go to Brian next. Brian wants to discuss his Chicago Bears. Hey, Brian.
John, I haven't spoke with you since last year, so I'm hoping you're doing well this year. Nothing has changed since the last time we spoke about my future Chicago Bears. The definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome. Well, apparently Chicago is running an insane asylum, because these guys are talking about bringing back Matt Nagy, bringing back Trubisky, and if that's the case, then I don't see any reason why Ryan Pace won't lose his job. Where do you start with this team to make changes? Because I don't see them re-signing Allen Robinson. He sent out a cryptic text the other day kind of saying that Chicago had their opportunity to sign him during the season, so I think he's going to walk. I don't see them franchising him. I already think they feel like they gotten their money's worth out of him. But where do you start if you're a fan of Chicago, and where do they go from here? That's all I got, man. Good to talk to you again, John. Y'all have a good day.
Brian, thank you very much. I'm doing very well, and I hope you are as well. Trubisky won't be back. He started playing well against bad teams like the Texans. Then when he played good teams, he didn't do squat against the Packers, and then in the playoff loss. So they're going to have to get another quarterback. Remember, unless you're picking at the top of the first round, almost every quarterback, you have to trade up, and you have to trade up. And like they could have, I know this makes you sick. They could have drafted Mahomes. They could have drafted Watson. Instead, they traded up for Trubisky, even though he only started 1 year at North Carolina. So where they're picking, unless they get lucky, they're going to have to trade up and trade a couple of ones to get a quarterback that they believe is the guy. But if they do that, then ownership has got to realize they're going to stick with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace for a couple of more years to give that quarterback a chance. But they have to get a quarterback. They have to run the ball better. Now, maybe Montgomery's their guy. He flashed at the end of the year. The Chicago Bears, playing at Soldier Field, have to have a running game. They got a defense. I don't see Nagy getting fired, but that's where it starts. I don't think you have to worry about Trubisky going back to the Bears.
Who's your unlikely team now out of who's left to go on a run, John, to make a Super Bowl appearance?
Of the teams that are left, I could see Baltimore winning, see Buffalo right after Kansas City in the NFC. Boy, I tell you, the Packers at Lambeau are tough. I'd love to see Brady there more than the Saints, even though I picked the Saints before the season. Brady is used to playing in bad weather. It'd be a great story. Most fans want to see Mahomes versus Rodgers in the Super Bowl, but Brady is such a great story. I wouldn't mind seeing him. He's not going to be intimidated by bad weather or a great defense. I'd almost rather see Brady playing Rodgers for the Super Bowl than Breeze.
John, Tom Brady, he now has 31 career postseason victories. That's near twice as many as Joe Montana and his 16 postseason victories, which is second all time. His 31 wins have come against 17 different teams, which means that he's beaten more teams in the playoffs than any other quarterback has total postseason wins. But yet, we're looking at the Bucs as an afterthought in this road to Tampa for the Super Bowl.
Well, I don't. I think they got a good chance to go into Green Bay and win, if anybody does, but it's because they struggle a lot this year. You know, Saints beat them twice. And it wouldn't surprise
me. And beat them down. You're right. You're right. Blew them out.
In 1999, we thought that the Titans weren't going to be able to beat the Jaguars, the division winner, three times, and they did. It's rare. But if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Brady. He's going to have great weather. It's going to, I think, can't wait for this. I think Tampa's going to win this game and play Aaron Rodgers. And, but I think based on those numbers you said, Brady may have a chance to make the Hall of Fame.
How'd that Washington football team effort go over in your house?
Heineke was here in 2017 as an afterthought. Nobody thought anything about him. And then she was all excited till she read things on Yahoo that he supported Trump.
Hell of an effort by him. I mean, it's a one-game flash in the pan. It's always interesting to see how the league reacts to a one-game flash in the pan. Certainly he'll be in camp in Washington, which has big quarterback decision to make and can't put too much weight into that. For the guy was, what, a math student 33 days ago.
I think he needs to be re-signed, and if he isn't, somebody will sign him. I mean, that's a great coaching job, too, by Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator, to take a guy in that situation and put him there, even though 5 weeks ago he'd been trying to get his master's. And it's, to me, it's one of the all-time great playoff performances. It kind of reminds me of when Kelly Holcomb threw for over 400 yards in Cleveland's last playoff game before this weekend, and they lost at Pittsburgh. I was there. And I thought, I look at Heineke the same way, and I hope he's able to take that into a full-time job.
I'm struck by the Arthur Smith interest, John. The Eagles have now put in a request for Arthur Smith. 7 for 7. We've seen a lot of hot coaching candidates, but usually there's at least one team that chooses not to chase him. Maybe because they think they can't get him or because they're different or whatever. I think a 7 for 7 is pretty rare. What does that say to you about him that absolutely everybody wants to talk to him?
I think it says this. Arthur Smith has been so low-key around the country. We don't ever see anything. You guys see him once a week when he talks to the media. We don't know anything about him. And, you know, people, when they hear he's been there 10 years through four coaches, they're like, wow, I didn't know that. Well, they know that here because we write about him and the Titans a lot. And I think people want to get to know him. They want to know what he thinks, what his philosophy is. He did a great job these last 2 years. And I told this before, I saw some national person say, well, if you get him, he's going to want to run the ball too much. He's old fashioned. And I'm like, if he's got Derrick Henry there, of course he's going to run it a lot. You do what is best for your talent. And I thought Arthur Smith did a tremendous job, and I know you guys know that. But the main thing is what he did for Ryan Tannehill. That, to me, is the most impressive thing. You know, we can hand the ball off to Derrick Henry, but the confidence and the success that Tannehill's had working with a running back and making that play action so effective, he's going to get a head coaching job. The key is who's going to take his place.
Yeah, and they had such a disappointing ending, but they have a great offense that they really need to pick up with what he left off, and it's a tall task.
John, they have Tannehill, who has turned around his career, nearly a 4,000-yard passer. They have the best running back in football. And they have A.J. Brown, who has blossomed into a number one wideout in the league, 1,000-yard receiver, back-to-back years.
Stud left tackle coming off a torn ACL.
And a guy who, and A.J. Brown, who believes he's going to be the best wide receiver in the NFL before it's all said and done. That trio and the window of opportunity that they have offensively right now, that has to be exciting for anyone that would want to come in and work with them.
I'm also liked creativity on offense. A lot of people think creativity means gadget plays. Look what he's done with Jonnu Smith and Firkser.
Yeah.
And by the way, was Corey Davis hurt at the end?
He was hurt at the end.
With no injury designation officially.
They never announced anything. The Titans are very slow in the press box with injury announcements and designations. Apparently a hip. But he had two dud games against Green Bay and before he was hurt against Baltimore.
Well, John, I say no injury designation because it leaves us to speculate why he's standing on the sidelines without his helmet. We didn't know during the game.
Good point. But to back to that, you know, he had his best season, and Arthur Smith played a role in all that. Mike Vrabel should get a lot of credit for making him the coordinator. And now all we know about the next coordinator search is, too bad for you guys, it ain't going to be Bill O'Brien.
It will not be William O'Brien.
I think they could do worse. Maybe not personality-wise.
But. Hey, what do you think about Dan Quinn running Mike McCarthy with his staff there as running the defense in Dallas?
Anybody's improvement
yeah.
over Mike Nolan, who never should have been hired. He took a 4-3 that was pretty good, tried to make it into 3-4 without the personnel, had injuries, and just a disaster. But he was really good friends with McCarthy. He had given McCarthy his first chance to be an offensive coordinator when he was at the 49ers, and he was rewarding him. Quinn did a great job in Seattle, which helped him get the head coaching job in Atlanta. A great guy. I'm really happy for him, and I'm happy for them, and I hope it works out.
John, thank you as always, and we will catch up later this week. We'll be previewing the divisional round, which is your favorite round of the NFL playoffs every year.
Although I got to say, they're never going to change the wild card now, because it was having 3-3 was yeah. such a great. They got record ratings. They got it on Nickelodeon. 2.8 million watched it, and I still don't know what sliming is. I guess I'll figure it out if they ever bring it to the main network. But I can't wait for the next round. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, John.
I'm just sorry the Titans are not in it.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you.
Thanks, John.
John McClain on Twitter, must follow. @McClain_on_NFL. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue. It's been a fun show.
Another fast show.
Aren't they all?
They are.
Aren't they all?
They almost all.
You know, the 4 hours feels like three.
And should be five.
Should be. So, Kevin Steele is a defensive assistant at the University of Tennessee. That is official.
I'm relieved. I don't know about you guys.
Well, it's a good coach. I mean, what they've done, what Philip Fulmer has done is he hired Pruitt. He spoke with Kevin Steele at the time. And now he's hired Kevin Steele. And he's got a guy who he would have hired whenever he was in the search for the head coach to potentially end up being the interim.
He kind of came in second.
I still sit here and I still think to myself, the inevitable is happening. Jeremy Pruitt's going to get fired in the middle of next year.
Yeah, whether it's now or whether it's next year. Kevin Steele's eventually going to be the interim head coach.
We don't know how long this deal is, though.
It's hard. Maybe it's unfair to him, and it's unfair to Tennessee for making the move now, but this is a move to improve your team now, and it's also a move that ensures that you have an escape route.
And then when you fire Pruitt after this year, you're going to end up paying Steele money for being under contract when a new coach comes in and cleans house?
I don't know. I don't know what their buyout's going to be with Kevin Steele. I mean, the buyout's going to go down on Jeremy Pruitt, which will probably offset that. Right. Whatever buyout you'd pay him right now is going to be less after next year. It's only going to go down from here.
You hire an offensive
guy. I don't think they're
hire an offensive guy.
I don't think they're finding anything in this investigation, from what I know and what I'm hearing, to fire him with cause. I don't think it's anything rising to that level.
Then let's finish it up. I mean, the only thing that should take it a long time is if they're finding a bunch of stuff.
Well, again, they still have to interview everyone and do everything. I'm just saying if the goal of this investigation was to, first off, you're cutting off your head at that point if you're Tennessee. It's like you're executing yourself. If you're trying to dig up enough,
the guillotine.
If you can fire a coach for lack of institutional control with cause and save yourself the buyout, you're also costing the next coach a lot of problems with the NCAA. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're finding that with Pruitt. So if that's the case, they can't fire him with cause. They can't lower the buyout. Jeremy Pruitt's going to be the coach in 2021. Kevin Steele is a good addition to the staff.
It's a strong addition.
And Jeremy Pruitt's going to have to come in and set the world on fire in 2021 if he's going to keep his job.
Also, what does it, beyond just Jeremy Pruitt, what does this say about Ansley?
I don't think it says many good things about him.
They're paying him $1 million.
I'm curious if he's being encouraged to look around, if there's other opportunities.
How many opportunities are there at this stage of the game? I mean, there was still more movement than we thought, but still not a lot.
There's things happening. I mean, Steve Sarkisian's forming a staff at Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That's a possibility for Derek Ansley. And they have ties together through the Saban tree. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that still could happen.
There's a lot to read in between the lines with this hire.
Look, Tennessee was able to – they were able
defensive
to –
defensive assistant
it's
means –
a weak title.
Well, not really. I mean, it gives him a lot of flexibility on his roles. I think he's overseeing a lot of different things. Kevin Steele's not taking the job if it's not defined what he's doing.
Obviously, he's doing a lot, but it's not a strong title. You don't hear that title and think that guy's –
well,
he's doing more than the titles.
Right. Well, he's going to have more of a title. It's just undetermined. This is right. Jeremy Pruitt hasn't filled out a staff yet, so he may be the defensive line coach. They'll probably be shifting around. He may go to be linebackers coach, and someone else moves to defensive line. He's going to be co-defensive coordinator. I'm sure will be part of the title if it's not full-on defensive coordinator when everything shakes
out. There's always that title of assistant head coach.
I mean, Kevin Steele is good for the program.
I don't know. I'm throwing out different
things. Yeah, no, it's a good addition to the program. It just, to me, it screams Kevin Steele is the future interim head coach of Tennessee.
They should call him that. That would be a hell of a title.
What if that was in the
title? Future interim head coach. Defensive assistant and future interim head coach. Now that would be a title. Get stationary with that bad boy on there. And then later he could just scratch out.
What if he introduced himself to recruits as that?
Later he could just, when he's writing letters after he becomes interim head coach, he could just scratch out future.
Hello, ma'am. My name's Kevin Steele. I'm your son's future interim head coach at Tennessee. Nice to meet you.
And then if he got the head coaching job, he could scratch out future and he could scratch out interim.
I can say, though, that I remember going back to the coaching search when Fulmer took over. What was the craziness of everything? I can't wait to talk with Doug.
Have Davenport in tears.
Yeah, when John Curry was called off.
Oh, the orange cups.
I can't wait to chat with Doug tomorrow about this with Kevin Steele, because Doug was really high on him then. And it's clear that Fulmer still believes in him.
Yeah, and it's clear that, look, Kevin Steele has, he's got his choice among a lot of jobs as an assistant. So it's clear he wanted to be back at Tennessee. He also probably sees an opportunity at Tennessee for advancement.
I've already got the stationery.
He's also friends with Jeremy Pruitt. People are making it like, I know, Paul, you were saying, oh, this is the guy who lost out to him. I don't think there's any ill will. They've been longtime friends, Kevin Steele and Jeremy Pruitt.
I don't doubt that at all, but there's still got to be a little bit of.
I mean, this is a clear, even if Jeremy Pruitt is allowed to keep his job after this investigation, this is a win or out, and not out in November or December. This is a possibility for out midseason.
This is a bigger topic, and I can get into this with Doug tomorrow. But here's why I think it's inevitable that we're seeing the beginning of the end, or maybe we see it sooner rather than later. I don't know. But why I say it's happening next year. Jeremy Pruitt, to me, is not an overseer. I don't see him as at the top of the food chain overseeing everything. Where you have Jim Chaney and it's his offense, because this is a make or break year for him. He will turn over the offense to Jim Chaney. Jim Chaney makes the offensive line coaching hire. Like that's what you have to bet on that hitting. Jim Chaney coaching quarterbacks and developing whatever happens there and having a winning offense. Now you have Kevin Steele on defense. And if you're the overseer, if you're the CEO of your team, that can work. But if you're the defensive-minded coach that's having to work with the former Auburn defensive coordinator who interviewed for your job, how can you not read into that more?
Well, he's not a CEO. He's an on-field ball coach.
That's my point.
He's going to meddle.
That's my overall point there of why I think it's inevitable that we're seeing the beginning of the end. And while we can go ahead and say that, you know, this is the obvious choice for your interim head coach.
That's why you got to hire a CEO when you're hiring a head coach.
Well, the problem with that is whenever all this crap went down with John Curry,
screwed everything.
They had to go with the guy that they knew would come in and coach and develop. They didn't hire the CEO.
There's going to be the writing's on the wall. There's going to be another opportunity for Tennessee football to improve themselves a year from now. Will they do it? There's going to be good coaches available. Just like we said, this coaching cycle wasn't going to lead to a lot of turnover. It really hasn't. There's going to be good coaches available next year.
And so that means we're on to two countdowns. My countdown to the tribute to the Joni Mitchell song River, which comes before Christmas, and our countdown to the UT coaching search, which comes after Christmas.
Jordan Sims says future interim head coach is no match for self-appointed sheriff of Scooptown.
True.
That's it for the Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
Don't block the box. Do lock the lock.